if you want to grab your Bibles and go to the end of Luke chapter 10, that's where we're going to be studying this morning in a very familiar passage. It's hard to go and look at some of these events, these one-on-one encounters in the life of Jesus without finding something that's familiar to us already. But even those things that are familiar to us, hopefully we can come to them and love them just as much, and at the same time find something new in these studies that can encourage us and can bring us to a level of faith and devotion to the Lord that might be even more than when we got here. The story of Mary and Martha, one of the great stories in the life of Jesus, and this encounter that he had with these two ladies in their home here in the, do you remember what city? Luke does not specify it here. He just says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus came to a certain village. So Luke does not name it. It's named in other places. Do you remember the name of the city where they lived? Bethany. It's the name of the city where Mary and Martha and their brother, what was their brother's name? Lazarus. It's where they lived in Bethany. Some of the best friends that Jesus had. He obviously had the 12 apostles who were very good friends of his. But this family seemed to be particularly close to him. They seem to be kind of that safe haven that he would sometimes resort to. And the city of Bethany, if you were to look on a Bible map, maybe in the back of your Bible, the city of Bethany is just east of Jerusalem. It's just on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. So it's not very far if you're in Jerusalem to take what we might consider a short walk. If you were to walk from here up to North Lake Boulevard, that'd be about a mile and a half from here. It'd be about that far for Jesus to walk from Jerusalem to get over to the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Of course, I don't think there's many slopes or mountains between here and North Lake Boulevard. But that's what Jesus would have encountered. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it happened as they went. He entered a certain village, and there was Martha who welcomed Jesus into her home. What would that have been like for you? To have invited Jesus over and Jesus comes into your home. This says that it's Martha's home. It doesn't mean she was the only one who lived there. It was no doubt her home and Mary's home and probably Lazarus's home. And maybe this is just an indication that Martha was the oldest. Usually the oldest was listed or mentioned first. So maybe Martha's the oldest of these siblings. And she's the one who welcomes him into her home. But obviously, as we study this, we're going to look at the contrast in this occasion between Mary and Martha. And you start in verse 39. And we're reading about Mary. In verse 39, and notice what it says about Mary and her discipline in her posture before Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 39, where is Mary? When Jesus comes into their home and when he sits down, where is Mary? Where does she go? She's right there at his feet. And when you read about Mary in other occasions in the New Testament, that's where she is. She went and sat, she went and fell down at the feet of Jesus. Sign of humility. A sign of recognition of who you are in the presence of Jesus. She falls down, and on this occasion, she's sitting at his feet, and that was just the posture of students, of pupils in that day. If they were going to learn, they'd go and sit at the teacher's feet. Notice what it says in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. The word heard there is in the Greek imperfect tense, which doesn't mean that she just heard it once, but she was sitting there and continually listening to everything he had to say. Now, what's the last word you have in that verse? Word. Does it have an S on it? Anybody have the word teaching? You got teaching? Does it have an S on it? Why doesn't it have an S? Did Jesus just say one word? She was listening to his word. Boy, that's pretty short, isn't it? Well, he was a man, right? Men are typically known for not, you know, being very verbose and speaking very. Maybe she said, "How are you?" And he said, "Fine." And so she was listening to his word. Is that the emphasis? Why doesn't the word have an S on it? Say again. Because there's only one word. Was she listening to his words with an S? Was she listening to all that he said? But how does the Bible characterize it? She was listening to his teaching, to his word, to his message. It was singular in nature. She wanted to come and learn what she needed to do that she could apply it to her life. If Jesus came into your home, what would you do? The Bible does not indicate if Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was coming. All it says is that Martha welcomed him. Maybe you have in verse 38, maybe you have the word received him into her home. It's possible that he had been invited. It's possible that this was a prearranged meeting, or it's possible that Jesus just came to town and in effect knocked on their door and Jesus, come on in. If Jesus just happened to show up at your house, what would you do? Can you hang on just a second? Can you hold out here for just a minute? Would you run and start cleaning up a little bit? Can you respect Martha's position in verse 40? Can you respect the fact that Martha is concerned about the house in verse 40? Why isn't Mary concerned about the house? Jesus comes and he sits down. How did that work with Mary? Did Jesus just sit down and start talking? Did he sit down and just start teaching and Mary ran over there and sat down to listen? Did Jesus just come in and sit down and just start sharing his message with anybody who was in the house? Or did he come and sit down and Mary run over and ask him a question? Lord, what about this? Lord, what does this mean? And she just wanted to learn. Tasha? That's right. Everybody can't do everything when a guest comes over. And so Tasha says, you know, it'd be rude to leave the guest sitting by themselves. And that's true, isn't it? You don't want to leave him sitting there by himself. And so Mary goes, and Mary's position of a disciple, and that's why I've got the word disciplined to describe her. Her position of a disciple was to go and to sit and to learn. Mary knew that she could not live by bread alone. Isn't that what Jesus said? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from where? The mouth of God. She knew there was more to life than what Martha was engaged in, and so she wanted to come and be learning from the bread of life. Is there a lesson in that? And we're going to talk about what lessons we can learn from this, especially when we get to Jesus' take, verses 40 and 40, 41 and 42. But is there a lesson for us to learn in that? Is there a need for us to hear what Jesus has to say? To come and to study his word as Mary did. All right, what about Martha? She's OCD? She might be. If you'll ask her when we get there, I might forget less, but that's a great question to ask. Martha, were you OCD? Was that your deal? No doubt. She had a little bit of that, didn't she? Here is Martha, and the Bible says, now it may depend on your translation in verse 40. What's your first word in verse 40? But. What does that word mean? Here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to everything that he says, and then you get to verse 40. But, here's something different. Here's a contrast. But Martha was what? What does your translation say? Distracted. Anybody got anything different? Cumbered. There's a word. Let me get Ruth's comment, and then we're going to talk about cumbered. That's true. That Jesus often traveled, but not by himself. And so perhaps there were others who were with him, and that Martha was concerned not only about serving Jesus, but when folks come over to your home, you're kind of responsible for providing for them, right? Giving them something to eat. Hey, you want a drink? And when they say yes, you hope they say no, because you don't really want to get them one, maybe. But they say yes, all right, well, do you want a drink? Okay, everybody wants a drink. Probably a little more involved in that. But Ruth, you're right that she was concerned about serving. And what we're going to see is that's not a bad thing. Is serving people a bad thing? That's not the point here, Dirk.
Titus 2 tells us that they're the keepers of the home. That's a woman's place.
Yes.
She was effectively doing what God requires of a godly.
Absolutely. Martha was not sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's where Mary was. Martha, but does that mean that Martha was an evil woman? Does that mean, boy, she's so worldly, she's over there serving? Is that the conclusion we come to? No. She was doing, as Dirk says, Titus 2 talks about that women are to be, older women are to teach the younger women that they're to be keepers of the home. What was Martha doing? Exactly what she needed to be doing. You read 1 Timothy chapter 5, and for a widow to be considered a widow indeed, she had to have been one who was a keeper of the home. What's Martha doing? She is doing that which is commendable. Are we not supposed to be hospitable? Be hospitable to one another. But what does the rest of that verse say in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Well, Martha did really good with that up until the end of verse 40. But she's being hospitable. So she's not doing something that's wrong in and of itself. So let's understand that. But the Bible says, but Martha was distracted. Or she was cumbered. What does that word mean? Cumbered. Burdened. With what? With much serving. Tasha? She was. She would have been drawn both ways. Martha was just as godly minded as her sister would have been. And so when it says that she was distracted, the word literally means drawn away or drawn around. She's looking at the whole situation, and she is, but where is her mind? She is overoccupied with the serving aspect of what's happening here. Richard? Richard, where do you fall in your family? Just
I'm an only, therefore I know all these
things. Yes. Yes. Okay, Richard makes very astute. Clearly. Richard makes a very astute observation that it is, that I think you said the word obvious, that it is, it's probably did, that it's obvious that Mary was the baby of the family and that Martha was the older sister who always did the work, and that Mary was the spoiled one who got to go and do whatever Mary wanted to do. And what does that do to the older sibling? Irritates them. Frustrates them that they're the ones. That's a very astute observation. Would you and Les get together when we get to heaven and make sure we get these things? Was it OCD? Was it birth order? There's something in there. There's a lot. see, here's a story that we know everything about, and yet we've already got two questions to ask when we get to heaven. All right, Bill.
We have a good time.
psychologist Bill, no, you read a book about it from a psychologist. It talks about the birth order, and probably you've read birth order or heard about birth order books, and how the babies have a good time, as Bill says, or as Bill says, we have a good time. And that middle child is kind of the forgotten one, right? The middle child's like, well, you know, he'll take on whatever he wants to do. Dirk? Well, say that again. Well, yeah, that's obvious. We could tell that, Kathy. We knew you were the baby in the family. So we'll see that. Kathy says, why does Martha feel the need to ask Jesus, a guest in the home, to get her sister to do something? Well, those of you who are older and have younger siblings, you're looking for all the help you can get. And, you know, if the creator of the universe is sitting in your house, would you do something with my sister? Because I can't do anything. So you're looking for all the help that you can get. Sorry, Richard, you're an only child. You don't know all of these wonderful, but you raised three wonderful sons, so you have some insight into this. Somebody else had a hand over here, or was I just imagining things? Dave. That's right. It says about Mary, or about Martha in verse 40. It says that she was distracted. That, again, the word distracted there is in the Greek imperfect tense, which means it was a continuous thing. It wasn't just, well, she had, it was continual. She was over and over again, overoccupied, drawn around this idea of with much serving. Where was her attention? This verse says that her attention was on the much serving. Now, again, serving your guest, is that a bad thing? Is that a wrong thing? Is it a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing. Is it possible for us, though, as Martha did, to allow good things to take priority over better things? Well, I'm doing good here. This is a good thing for me to be doing. Is there something better for you to be doing? If I go on Sunday morning and I'm serving in a soup kitchen and I'm helping the needy, I'm helping the poor, am I doing something good? That's not bad, is it? That's something good. Is there something better that I ought to be doing? So it's not a matter of saying that Martha was a worldly, evil, horrible person. It is a matter of priorities. And that's what Jesus comes down to. Fran? When you go over to... There were two occasions. The first thing that Fran said is that when Jesus came into the home, that Mary stopped everything in order that she might go and listen to what Jesus says. Over in John chapter 12, there are at least two occasions, and Fran asks about this. There are at least two occasions where Jesus' feet were anointed, and over in John chapter 12 is one of those occasions, and this is later on in the life of Jesus, so this is after Luke chapter 10, chronologically. It says that Jesus came to Bethany in John chapter 12, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. Well, if he comes to Bethany, then you have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. There in verse 2, they made a supper, and this is in the home of Simon the leper that we read about in other parallel passages. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance of oil. This is a different occasion. Was it last week or the week before where we looked at, it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, where we looked at the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil? Different occasion, different woman, different scenario altogether. But yes, here's a woman, and again, where was Jesus, or where was Mary when Jesus was in the home? She was at his feet. What an interesting woman that's, you know, that she recognized not only her position, her relative position when Jesus was around, but that she was eager to listen. But then in John chapter 12, what is she doing? She's serving. So there's nothing wrong with serving the guest who comes into your home. David? That's true. David mentions the contrast in John 11, where Lazarus had died, and you remember the delay of Jesus coming, and when it was heard that Jesus was coming into town, that Martha ran out to meet him. In John 11 and verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary stayed back at the house. And so David says it's an interesting contrast to see those two flipped on that occasion. And so again, Martha's not someone that we need to look down on, but it's a matter of priorities. Tasha? Yeah. Yes, they could have been. Tasha notes the word also in verse 39, who also sat at Jesus' feet. Is the also a reference to Martha also sitting at Jesus' feet? Is the reference to Lazarus or some other individuals who were also, who along with Mary was also sitting at Jesus' feet? It could be, look in verse 40, and this is jumping a little bit ahead, but not a whole lot. Look in verse 40 where it says that when Mary comes to Jesus, she says that my sister has left me to serve alone. The word left there is again in the imperfect tense. It was a continual action, and maybe it was indicative of a repeated action. She keeps leaving me to serve alone. Is it possible that Mary was trying to help with the serving, but she kept running back to sit at Jesus' feet, and Martha says, she keeps leaving me? And so that's interesting. Diana, did you have your hand up a minute ago?
I was just going to say there's a time and a place for everything.
Okay.
And maybe the serving could have waited.
Yep, there's a time and a place for everything. And as Diana says, maybe the serving could have waited. Isn't that what Jesus indicates when we get down here? Let's finish with Martha in verse 40. Jim, go ahead and make your comment. We're going to finish with Martha in verse 40 and then look at Jesus' words in 41 and 42. Yeah, it is being at Jesus' feet. Obviously, it was a place of a pupil where they would sit to learn. It's also, as Jim says, a place of submission, and referencing the Old Testament story of Ruth and Boaz, and the recognition of who those roles are. In verse 40, Martha was continually distracted, not with just serving, but with much serving. Now look at the word much. She's not just distracted with serving. What is she concerned about? There's a lot of stuff to be done. Okay. Is there a lot of stuff that just has to be done? She was distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus. And here's what was referenced before. She approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? It's an interesting way to start this complaint, isn't it? Lord, don't you care? Almost as if to, almost as some kind of a reproach against Jesus. Say, Lord, you're the one who keeps stealing Mary away from me. If you weren't here, you keep taking her away. Don't you care that Mary, my sister, can't you? There's no tone in here. This is like a text message, right? You ever misread a text message or an email, misread the tone in it? You think somebody's chewing you out and there was no tone in it at all, and you reply and oops, you start something that didn't need to be started because you insinuated a tone. We don't know the tone here. Don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve all by myself? She's neglecting her duties, Lord. She's neglecting her serving duties, Lord. Therefore, Don't you care that she's left me alone? Therefore, can you imagine using the word therefore with Jesus? Don't you care that my sister, therefore, here's the conclusion of the matter, Jesus. You have allowed her to be distracted or to be distracted by your teaching. Therefore, what does she say? Tell her, that's an imperative. That's a command. She orders Jesus to order her sister to come and to help her with the serving duties. Perhaps Mary was the baby in the family. Babies in the family don't always listen to their older siblings. No matter how old they get, the babies still want to do their thing. So perhaps perhaps Mary's not listening to her older sister. So Martha tries the end around and says, Lord, would you go and tell her? Have you ever gotten a fight with somebody and you were determined not to talk to them and they were in the room, but you were determined, I'm not going to talk to them. They were in the room, and so you tell a third party, would you tell so-and-so that I want... You did the end around. The person's written right there, but you want to go around to get the... Yep, you've never done that. I'm sure you've heard of somebody who did that, or maybe you've seen that on TV. I don't know that that's what Martha's doing. Do you think Mary heard her say this? In all likelihood, why not? Is it Tasha or some, or Ruth or somebody who said, you know, Martha no doubt is hearing what Jesus is saying in the home. You know, imagine your home. And I know all of our homes are different. If Jesus is sitting in one part of your home near the kitchen perhaps, and you're in the kitchen serving, would it still be possible for you to hear what he's saying? It's possible that Martha can still hear it, but she's not able to give it her full attention. And so here's Martha saying, Lord, I need you to do this for me. It's interesting that Martha seemed to be absorbed in this serving and what she could do for Jesus, but for some reason, she may have forgotten what Jesus could do for her. And so she was more concerned about making sure these serving duties were taken care of. And again, the serving was not wrong in and of itself, but it was misplaced. Let's look at verse 40 and 41, or 41 and 42. We've got about 6 minutes to look at Jesus' evaluation. And he evaluates first Martha in verse 41, then he evaluates Mary in verse 42. And what Jesus says about Martha is that she was overly concerned with her serving. What does that mean? She didn't need to be so enwrapped in that. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Was that a compliment? Is that a compliment? Yes, Lord. I am. Aren't I multifaceted? I can multitask. I can be worried and troubled about many. Was this a compliment? No. Hebrews 12 says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Was there some chastening here? Martha, you are too worried and troubled about too many things. Karen? Yeah. Karen brings up the disciple saying, you care not that we perish while Jesus is asleep in the boat. Care not that we perish. And obviously, there could be some similarity there in bringing into question Jesus' concern. You've never done that, have you? Well, if you loved me, this is what you would do. I know that's a foreign concept. That would never happen in our lives. But here's Martha, and Jesus' evaluation is that there are too many things going on in her life. There are too many things that she has devoted her attention, her worry, her trouble to. Now, contrast Contrast the many things at the end of verse 41 with the first part of verse 42. You are worried and troubled about many things. What's the first word you have in verse 42? Same word you had in verse 40. Contrast. Martha, you are worried and troubled about all of these things. Things that in the end don't matter. Are they important? Sure. Are they needful at the time? Yes. Is there anything in and of themselves wrong with them? No. But Jesus says, you've got too many things that are distracting you from, what's the first part of verse 42? But one thing. Here's you, Martha. Many things you're worried about. Here's Mary. But one thing is needed. And that's what Mary chose. Does that mean that Mary would never serve the Lord? No, we saw in John 12, she was serving the Lord. Does that mean that Mary would forever neglect her duties? Was Jesus saying that you shouldn't be concerned about anything else in life? Was Jesus saying, don't you worry about washing the dishes? Was he saying that here? Was he saying, just let the dishes pile up. Don't worry about the dirty laundry. Don't worry if that cup is clean when you give it to your guest to have a drink. Forget this serving stuff. Just sit at Jesus' feet 24/7. Is that what he's saying? No. It's not what he's saying. But Jesus says there is a matter of priority by which we have to live. And he says, Mary has chosen that one thing. Mary has chosen the good part. There is a contrast here, obviously. A contrast between of food. Where Martha is concerned about the physical food, the physical meal that she was working on. What was Mary concerned about? The spiritual food, the spiritual nourishment that she could have at the feet of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with the physical. There's nothing wrong with the material necessarily. But Jesus says when that physical, when that material, whether it be food or anything else, when that gets in the way of the one thing that's most important, then that becomes a stumbling block before you. You become distracted. It may be a good thing, and there may not be anything in and of itself that is inherently sinful or wrong about it, but Jesus says the moment it inhibits the one thing in your life that is the most important, it's wrong. Here's a woman who was all concerned about work. It's a good thing. Here was a woman who was concerned about worship at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says there's something that's more important. Now notice the last thing in verse 42, the bell's going to get us. She's chosen this one thing. It's more important than everything else. And Jesus says it will not be taken away from her. There is eternal value in making sure that we keep first things first in our lives. That we devote ourselves to the thing that is most important. And everything else in our lives needs to support it and to uphold it and encourage us. Jesus came to their home. Martha welcomed him as a guest. Mary welcomed him as a teacher. Which one are you? Are you a Martha who's worried and troubled about many things, most of which are good? A lot of them have to do with serving the Lord. Or are you Mary? You've determined what's most important, and everything else is going to fall under that. I know a lot of you had your hands up. I wish I could have got to you, but we couldn't get everybody in. I'm sorry about that, but hopefully this has been a good study for us this morning.